Welcome to the Smart Dating Academy podcast. I'm Bella Gandhi, the founder of Smart Dating Academy and your host. I started Smart Dating Academy in 2009 because I had this crazy knack of giving people dating advice that actually worked, that I took. I've been married for almost 25 years, and now my company helps people to date smarter and to find love. This podcast is meant to bring more love into your life, no matter where you are and what you do. And we're here to bring more life into your love. Hi, everybody. I am so excited about today's episode. Excited because who doesn't want to talk about getting back into the dating world after or even during a divorce, okay? And it's one of the biggest questions we have. A vast majority of our clients have been through divorce, are going through divorce. Maybe you're still married and you're thinking about, you're dreaming about divorce, and you're already dreaming about the new lid to your pot. Well, I can tell you that today's guest is not only an incredible divorce attorney, but she's also an incredible friend of mine. And I feel incredibly blessed to have her here. So I want to welcome to the Smart Dating Academy podcast, Susan Guthrie Esquire.
Hi, Bella. Hi, Bella's listeners.
Thank you so much for being here today. And for those of you who have followed Smart Dating Academy, and maybe you've seen my Instagram live show, but you've seen Susan on there. Susan Guthrie has been a leading family law attorney and a mediator. She's on the executive council of the American Bar Association, which is huge. Susan has done billion-dollar divorces. Let's just go there. We're going to roll our sleeves up. You guys, we're taking it all off for this episode. And not only did she go from being an attorney to being an entrepreneur and a mediator, but she trains attorneys in mediation to make things more pleasant and maybe, you know, less painful. Susan, you can tell us about that. And she's got one of my favorite podcasts as well called Divorce and Beyond. So give Susan a big round of applause. Yay for being here with us today. We're so excited, Susan. And tell us about dating and divorce and all of the things. We're just going to eat all of this up.
I love this, Bella. Thank you so much for having me on. And I love talking about this because it's like the intersection of our worlds, right?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, divorce leads to dating. Sometimes dating leads to divorce more times than we care to think, I think. But I think it's a really interesting topic for people because, as you and I know, people who are going through divorce are often thinking about dating. It's like the end of that relationship has led them to a point where they're starting to wonder when and if they can get back out there.
Yeah, it fills people with trepidation. I know when I get people, well, we get people at Smart Dating Academy that are going through divorces, right? They're separated. And there have been occasions where I've called Susan saying, could this person actually be out there and online dating, right? And I'm sometimes surprised at what the answers are when they're high profile divorces. But, you know, we can talk about that in a minute. But I think divorce, if this is, you know, we're taping this right now at the end of December, in January is the biggest month for dating, but it's also the biggest month for divorces. And what I learned recently is, what does that mean? It means the Monday after the holidays is the time when the most divorce attorneys' phones light up with couples that are calling saying, I can't take it anymore. I'm done. Game over. It's probably I survived one more Christmas. And every time I looked at this person, I knew I was D-O-N-E, done.
You know, it's something I've noticed. I've been a divorce attorney for 32 years, and every year in January, you just knew that as soon as you came back to the office after the holidays, you just knew the phone was going to start ringing off of the hook. And in fact, this year, it's actually already started. Anecdotally, what I'm hearing from colleagues across the country is many people, unfortunately, didn't even make it through the holiday season, and the outreach has already started. So yes, but they do say that Monday after New Year's Day is divorce day. We call D-Day. It D-Day. Exactly. D-Day.
D-Day. And when people call you, or let's say they kick the, you know, they sort of start the process off, what is the most surprising question that you or divorce attorneys get in these initial consultations?
You know, it's funny. I love that question. Thank you. Because it's like normally people want to know, and the ones we usually hear, you know, how do I protect my finances? What's the parenting plan going to look like? All that. But the question that we get that I think surprises people the most, and it used to surprise me every time someone asked it, because I was like, here they are talking to me about getting divorced. And that almost every consultation a divorce attorney is going to hear, when can I start dating? Can I date? When can I get out there? Is it okay if I'm dating? I'm already dating. Is that okay? So it's really an interesting juxtaposition, right? Because here's somebody who's ending their marriage, but also in a place where mentally, or at least in some way, they're also thinking about, can I get back out there?
Right. And like your podcast is called Divorce and Beyond, right? Like I'm thinking about my divorce, which is ultimately going to lead me to my beyond. So to me, it makes perfect sense that as they think about ending this chapter of their lives, and let's face it, nobody gets divorced if there hasn't been a lot of pain already. Like you don't get driven to divorce because, you know, you got a paper cut yesterday, right? There's been a lot of stuff brewing. So that makes a lot of sense to me. And do you find that men ask you about that more than women, or what do you see with that? I'm curious.
You know, that's an interesting thought. I would say it's really more in almost every divorce, you will see, as you just said, one of the people has been thinking about divorce for a long time. In fact, my friend Aaron Levine of Hello Divorce mentioned on a podcast episode recently that statistics say before someone asks their spouse or tells their spouse they want a divorce, they've often been thinking about it for up to 4 years. Years where this has been top of mind. So that person, whether it be male or female, the husband or the wife, that is the person who usually is more than ready to get back out there. Often if the concept of divorce is newer to one of the parties, that person is definitely, you know, that's the person the other statement we hear in a divorce attorney's office all the time is, I'm never getting married again.
So, right. Game over.
Yeah, I'm done. That's it. Never again am I doing this. So we have both of those. When can I date? And the other person's usually, I'm never getting married again.
That's, I can totally understand both sides to that. And now if that's so interesting that's, you know, one of the most common questions you get is, when can I date? So tell us the answer to that question. When can they date, Susan Guthrie?
Yeah, well, and you know, this is tricky because, and I know you get this when you talk to your clients, there's an aspect to this answer that they don't want to hear. Because if they're asking that question, really what people want to hear is, oh, go ahead and do whatever you want. And so I always explain there are really two answers to this question. There's a legal answer, and then there's the real practical answer. And the legal answer's, you know, really the easy one, because for the most part, from a legal perspective, it just doesn't matter if you're dating.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
I mean, bottom line, if you start dating after your relationship has already ended, or your divorce has hit that, or your marriage has hit the point of divorce, your dating, your being out there and meeting new people is a byproduct of that, not the cause of the
marriage.
breaking down, right? And that's what courts are interested in. What caused the breakdown of the marriage? And people like to think it's, well, my spouse has a new boyfriend or girlfriend. But the reality is happily married people don't date, right? Or they don't.
Or you tell me. Each other.
Yes, right? They date. Hopefully it's the marital dating. So from that legal perspective, that's the answer the clients want to hear, right? Yeah, like have at it. It doesn't matter from a legal perspective. There is one little twist to it that if you go out and start spending exorbitant money on your, as we like to say in the legal field, paramour.
Your paramour,
then that money, you know, might get carved back in because you're basically spending 50 cents of your of every dollar that belongs to your spouse. So the easy answer legally is probably doesn't matter. But then there's the practical answer. And that's the one people don't want to hear.
Let's go there.
Okay, I'm going to dive in and tell you
it is
a hugely bad idea to date during your divorce for a lot of reasons. I'm not saying you can't do it. I am saying that there are a number of complications that will arise immediately when you start to introduce dating or a new person or a paramour into your life.
Oh, I can imagine how that would just not make things any easier, especially if you're the one that was dealt the blow, right? That you know, if it was me, let's say, and my husband, if I found out he'd been thinking about it for 4 years and suddenly, you know, I get a little FedEx packet in the mail or whatever it is and served with papers. And if he was like, hey, how do you feel about me starting to date? I'd have a few probably choice words at that point. Not even, you know, it's right now, I feel like I had been mushroom clouded and I wouldn't even be able to process that. And that would just tell me, it would make me think, have you already been dating somebody? Or have you been cheating on me? Like it would, so I can 100% understand why that would be an emotional cataclysm.
No, it's an emotional bomb. I mean, it is truly at a time when emotions are already high, right? It will just explode the situation and ramp it up to the umpteenth level. And you're 100% correct that the person who has been or has felt blindsided or surprised by this whole concept of divorce, that person will start to look at it as exactly that, proof that you were cheating or that trust should not be extended, which only makes the divorce process harder. But I've also seen the phenomena the other way around, where somebody has been thinking for those 4 years about divorce, tells their spouse it's time to get divorced, and then that spouse goes out and finds a new person or starts dating. And I call it the I don't want him, but you can't have him syndrome. It can also set off World War III. There's something inherently territorial in human beings. And this probably goes back to some things you and I have talked about our hunter-gatherer, backgrounds of the Neanderthals. But the minute a new third party gets introduced into your complicated two-person divorce, everything becomes much more complicated. The emotions become much more complicated. The issues of what happened before, what's happening now, money that's getting spent, your kids, it truly is a ticking time bomb.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much around what you're saying that I'm sure resonates with so many people and resonates with us even through the dating process. Because if you think about dating right after you announce a divorce, the question, one of the things I always tell people when they ask me, am I ready to date? It's, have you done your work? Have you looked inside and taken a breath? Like, give it 5 minutes. Like, what just happened over here? Why did I think you were the perfect lid to my pot? And now I want to put that lid in the incinerator or send it to the garbage dump. Like, wait a second, how do I make sure I don't do that again? Because Susan and I talk about these statistics that we share with the people that we work with. For those of you who don't know this, 50% of first marriages end in divorce. But what happens when we get up, we dust off, and we try it again? 67% of those marriages end in divorce. You guys, that is 2 out of 3. Imagine 2 out of 3 couples, 2 go down. Okay. And now for those brave souls that give it a third shot, like, all right, they're incorrigible, you can't keep them down. 3 out of 4 of those, 74% of third marriages end in divorce. So when you don't stop to do, actually say, what was my part in this? Because even if the bomb was handed to you, right? Someone else detonated it. How did you get blindsided? How did you not know this was coming? How did you think things were okay? Or how did you stay in something for so long that wasn't okay? Did you ignore red flags? Even in the dating process, it's astounding to me when I ask my clients that come in post-divorce, like, when you were with your ex, when did you first see these red flags? They're like, oh, right away.
10 years ago.
10 years ago. And yet I stayed in it and I thought it would get better, that, you know, maybe we had kids or we moved here. And you're, what I can tell you guys is your issues that you have with someone when you're dating them, they kind of stay your issues when you're married. Would you agree with that, Susan?
Oh, I think, and I can only speak anecdotally from the people that I've represented in divorce and having been married myself, is I think they get a little bit worse. Those little quirks that people have. Absolutely.
Right. And so if you're seeing these kinds of things, and let's say maybe you're the single person who's listening and you're out there dating and you've been recently divorced, or you kind of thought, okay, I know how to do this, right? Really think twice about this. Think 3 times. I would say measure twice and cut once, and really make sure that you have done a deep dive with some help. Okay. Therapy, massive. Right? Why did I pick that person? Why did I stay with that ex? Right? You've got to do a look in the rearview mirror, right? Even when you're driving, to still make sure that you're going in the right direction forward. You've got to look at what led me to this person, what told me this was a good idea for me, and understand who was I then versus who am I now and who do I want to be with this time around, to make sure that you know the green flags for a good partner versus sticking with the same red flags that you might just be comfortable with.
Yeah. I mean, it's such a great point that, I mean, think about this, right? You're sitting in a divorce attorney's office talking about ending a long-term committed relationship. And in your mind, you're already talking about going out and dating. The divorce process is difficult. I don't care whether you're having the most amicable divorce in the world or War of the Roses. It is a difficult process. And then you're talking about all the things that Bella works with her clients to do, to work on, you know, what's happened in the past, to work on finding the right person as they go forward, to get out there and be psychotically optimistic about finding someone new. How do you even contemplate putting the energy that process deserves into it when you are going through a divorce process, when you are working through all of the life-changing issues that must be faced and dealt with and discussed and negotiated as you go through that process, and you're trying to get to know somebody else to determine whether or not they're the new lid to your pot? It's mind-boggling if you really want to take that high level 10,000, you know, yes, foot view of this. And yet people want to do it all the time.
And I think the real driver here, to your point, they want to do it right away because we're trying to fill a void, right? Divorce, when I talk to my clients, it's probably for ubiquitously the hardest thing that they've ever gone through, right? And to think about just, and that leaves a big hole and it leaves a void, right? Even if it wasn't a happy marriage, you're still half, right? And maybe if you're co-parenting, you have kids, there's a whole new way that this partnership is going to show up for you, right? And how do you even co-parent and integrate this old person, your ex, into a life with a new person, right? There's so much around this, but just brass tacks while we're talking about dating with children. One of the things I tell people is, especially when you're so excited and you want to fill that void, and people tend to fast forward and want to get into something super fast and bypass the whole dating process and the screening process. And one thing that happens is children can become collateral damage in that. When you're rushing to fill that void, rushing to bring someone home on the fourth date, right? Kids, especially young kids, can get attached to your new boo so quickly. And if it turns out the boo becomes a ghost at a certain point, kids are like, wait, we lost mom or dad, and now we've lost this person, right? So you want to be super careful. My general rule of thumb with dating after divorce is wait a minimum of 6 months post exclusivity before you introduce this person to your children. And I know a lot of divorce agreements now have this kind of stuff spelled out very concretely, that you cannot bring a new person around the kids until a certain point.
Yeah, that's a great point. And we do see that language. And that's actually, you've picked sort of the typical language we see. People will negotiate a time period that a relationship has to have gone on before children can be introduced to a new significant other. My one caution about that is that that's very focused on the adults and how they feel and what they want. Yeah. And the reality is, maybe 6 months isn't long enough for your kids to be ready for mom or dad to be in a new relationship. I mean, you talked about a very common situation where a parent will get into a relationship that's very exciting and new, but kind of like over quickly. We see that a lot in the divorce world where somebody, you probably have a fabulous term for it, but it's I'm not even sure what, but they get very excited. They think this is their new person. This is going to be it. And like it flames out very quickly, but they introduce their kids.
Yeah.
And that's tough for kids, right? They got used to your flame before they flamed out. But there's also just those situations where kids are already going through a lot when mom and dad, or mom and mom and dad are splitting up. They're dealing with a lot. And all of a sudden you are adding another person, another element into their complicated little lives. And if you want to be truly child-centered, it's not about how long you've been dating that person or how you feel about that person. It's about whether or not your kids are ready for that person to be a part of their lives.
Yeah.
And I encourage parents to really turn that around and look at it through their kids' lives. There's a movie out there called Split. It's a documentary filmed by my friend Ellen Bruno, and it's interviews with children from their perspective about what the divorce experience was like. And there's a few children who talk about what it was like to meet a parent, new person, new significant other. And that will change forever how you consider that process and how you might want to introduce new people into your children's lives. So I encourage everyone to go watch that movie before you bring someone new into your kids' lives.
Yeah, absolutely, Susan. And I know one of the things that you tell people, and as we were talking about this segment, it's in addition to, you know, being really careful when you're out there dating, because it's going to be an emotional issue with your ex, and not spending exorbitant amounts of money, because that's going to lead you into another, you know, bowl of hot soup, but also not flaunting things on social media, right? Here's me and my new boo in Aruba. Hold on.
Do not, first of all, probably not a great idea to go to Aruba with the new boo. now you're going to get into that whole spending money. And here's the thing, I'll just say to that spending of the money, the very first thing I always hear from a client is, well, she paid for everything. The girlfriend paid for everything. I didn't pay anything. Just because you say it doesn't mean the other side's going to believe it. So we're still going to go through the back and forth of them wanting to see all of the credit card statements and the bank statements to prove that you didn't spend any money. And what did you just do? You just spent a lot of time and money on an issue that you created by going to Aruba with your boo. So don't go to Aruba with your boo. But you're absolutely right. Everybody these days lives their lives on social media. And whether you're posting it or Boo is posting it, and that's really where we see this most often. I cannot tell you how many times as an attorney, I was blindsided in court by pictures from Facebook that were posted by the significant other that were not you. But, you know, there's my client sitting there on his brand new yacht with his, you know, 20 years younger girlfriend and her glass of champagne in his lap. And we're in court trying to say he can't afford to pay alimony anymore, right? I mean, don't, and it just ramps up again. It ramps up that emotional content. It puts your private life out there for everyone, including your ex, including your family, and by the way, including your children to see.
Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, Susan's not only an expert on family law and is giving us great advice, but Susan also generously shares her own story. And Susan went through a divorce herself and then met a great boo and a great lid to her pot. So do you want to share just a couple of your inspiring story with us to know that this can happen post-divorce?
Oh, I love talking about falling in love the right way, the second time. You know, they always say the second time's the best time. And it's so true. But the first thing I always point out is I did not meet my husband until 3 years after my divorce. And those 3 years, I dated after I got divorced a bit, but really didn't I spent a lot of time working on why I had gotten into my first marriage. And that's all that stuff you were just talking about. But, you know, it's really one of those things that because I put that time in to look at the mistakes I made that first time, I actually spent a great deal of time talking about and thinking about how horrible my first husband was. Then I turned that around and one, he's not a horrible person. And two, why did I pick him? Right. Why? What was it? And it was that work that I did. But yeah, I met pretty much the perfect guy for me, my lid to my pot. Right there, he came in through the door of my office one day looking for a divorce attorney to review his mediated divorce agreement. And instead of hiring me, he took me out to dinner. So
he married her.
He always calls second marriages the triumph of hope over experience. So,
oh my gosh. And Susan, when you met David, David had three special little packages that came with the deal.
Yeah. People say people come with baggage. He had little suitcases, three triplets.
Triplets.
And that's, very lucky for me, I got to end up being the stepmom to three wonderful kids who are now grown up adult human beings at 24. But they were, I think they were almost five when I met them. Now, I want to point out, you know, very pointed to what we are talking about today. I did not meet them until they were over six. It was over a year after David and I had started dating before the kids knew who I was and knew that I was in their dad's life. And, you know, we tried to keep that really slow. And, you know, we knew by that time that our relationship was a relationship that was going to last and was going to, now we are 20 some odd years or 20 years down the road. So I guess we were right on that, but and that's not to say we did everything right, but I really encourage people. I have seen so many times people filling that void, because in that moment, I mean, you know, I said it earlier, divorce is hard. It's emotionally difficult. The thrill of finding someone new and that emotional, like, just, oh, it makes me, you know, think about falling in love. It's a wonderful feeling, right?
It's wonderful.
Right. So at a time when we're feeling so low, isn't that attractive and wonderful? But it's also a little illusory, because you're really not thinking clearly. I mean, Bella can tell you all, you know, about the whole neuroscience of when we are, you know, under stress, which, thank you, divorce is stressful. You know, we're our bodies and our brains are emitting all these hormones that mean literally that you cannot think clearly. And yeah. Again, you've got to make all these decisions about your divorce. And now you want to add in this additional component of, oh, I don't know, something as important as finding the next person who's going to be in your life. So it's not a time to rush into things.
No. And if you look at the phrases that we use, to Susan's point, I'm madly in love. Mad means cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, crazy, crazily in love. These hormones like cortisol and adrenaline, fight or flight, when we're under stress, lead us to make decisions that aren't always good for us because we're feeling threatened. It's like when the saber-toothed tiger is going to come for the caveman, we're just going to want to get out of Dodge and quick. And we don't tend to make the best long-term decisions for ourselves. So I think that if you're out there and thinking about dating during a divorce, certainly, you know, Susan has just told us like why that might not be the right thing for you for a whole host of reasons, just with your partner, with your kids. And if you haven't done the work yet, and if you're dating post-divorce, you know, getting guardrails around you to make sure that you don't end up in that 67% divorce rate of second go-rounds and 74% third rates, you know, just, and Susan actually, when I was first getting to know her, told me when I said, you know, we've had zero divorces in 12 years, she's like, you should literally have a t-shirt that says that and put that all over your site. And I didn't realize, coming from a divorce attorney, how valuable that is. She's like, wait, what? So we've had zero divorces. So what I want to tell you is be inspired. If you're bludgeoned post-divorce and you're like, I don't know if I can do this again. The number one thing is you just heard from Susan. She did her work and she found the lid to her pot, and they've been together for how many years?
18 years, just over 18 years.
18 yeah. years. Like, right. Like they, yeah, their marriage is almost adult at this point. So it's 18. Yeah. And so it can happen, but doing the work and investing in yourself and taking the time to slow things down, to do it right the next time is so, so important. And I hope that you feel inspired and hopeful, because you're talking here to two people, one who has helped people navigate through the divorce, helped herself navigate through divorce personally, found the lid to her pot. And then I help people to find the lids to their pot. So we're spraying you right now with hope and inspiration and psychotic optimism in the new year that you too can do this post-divorce. You don't have to feel so alone. Divorce can be a really lonely process. Sometimes in addition to having an ex and a relationship blow up, a lot of our friends end up abandoning us as well. And that is almost more painful to some extent for so many of my clients when their friends think divorce is contagious and then they break up with them, or they don't know, well, do I have to pick sides? I'm just going to pick none of you and disappear. So there's so much to this. So if you need support around this, there are many places, many podcasts you can listen to. Listen to Susan's Divorce and Beyond podcast, right? She has amazing experts on there that will help navigate you through the legal aspects and the practical aspects of before, during, and after the divorce. And, you know, feel free to ping us as well. We're more than happy to walk you through this process in a safe, fun, and inspiring way. Susan, you are the best. Is there any piece of advice that you want to leave our listeners with to make them better? Like your favorite tip, your favorite piece of advice?
You know, my favorite piece of advice is the one that I have found in this very past year, the thing that has literally changed how I see every day. And it's going to sound trite because it's everybody in the world has said it, but I put it into practice in the past year. So for those who are just starting a new year, this time last year in 2021, I decided to do the gratitude exercise of at the end of each day, just finding three things to write down that I was grateful for. And they did not have to be big things. They could be, that would be great. But, you know, finding those three things. And I swear to you, it has changed my days, changed my life, because now as I go through my day, even like sitting here with you, Bella, I can tell you right now, being able to spend this time with you will be one of my little gratitude moments that is going to go in my journal tonight. Your whole day turns into recognizing moments of gratitude. And you'll think in your mind when little things happen, or you feel the sun on your face, or you hear the kids laugh out in the other room, you'll just write down or think of, oh, that's got to go in my journal later on today. So whether you write it down or you take that moment just to really be in your moments and find those little tiny things to be grateful for, I cannot tell you the difference it's made for me.
I love that so much. And gratitude cannot live in the same space as fear and anger.
Love that.
And if you think about what Susan is saying, when you're rewiring your brain to look for what's good during the day, and you're holding yourself accountable to write those things down, and the minute you start to look for what's good, you eviscerate the fear that you're feeling. You eviscerate the anger that you might be feeling, because now you know gratitude is the antidote to fear and anger. So there's so much to that. And if you guys have not started doing it, if you're not a writer and you don't have a journal like Susan, I saw a great tip the other day. Every day, take a scrap of paper, fold it up and throw it into a jar. And it's your gratitude jar. And at the end of the year, you're going to have all these folded up pieces of paper. And on January 1st, you can open it up like little fortunes in a fortune cookie and look back at the amazing things that have happened to you every single day over the past year.
I love that. So we are at this episode's airing at the beginning of a year. You guys have a whole fresh year ahead of you. That's a wonderful way to get ready. And we'll see you in 2023. We can hear what everybody's gratitude moments were.
Susan, thank you so much for spending this time with us, with our listeners, and for doling out the gems you have. And we will certainly be hearing more from Susan Guthrie throughout 2022. So thank you so much for joining us today.
No, thank you for having me, and congratulations on the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in. And as always, we would love for you to download, share, review, just spread the love, and know that love is coming for you. So thank you very much. Until next time. Thanks for listening. And as always, download us, share us, show us the love. Follow Instagram at Smart Dating Academy. And if you or someone you know wants to learn more, check out our website at smartdatingacademy.com. We're here to bring you love.